I'd like to pray with you and then speak to you in Christ's name. Our blessed and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, that we can come and hear Thee speaking to us again today. We pray, Lord, that speak to our hearts. Make relevant, Lord, those things to us that indeed say to us this evening. Through Thy word, we pray that bring Thy word alive and make it powerful, make it that living word that shall not return to Thee void. To help all Thy servants tonight, strengthen them, we pray. That guide them, Father, through the messages that they prepared. Leave out, Heavenly Father, whatever Thou have them to leave out, bring in, by way of explanation and illustration, application, those things that they've neglected to incorporate in their messages. Oh, Heavenly Father, oversee all, we pray. Govern and guide and control by Thy blessed Spirit. We ask it in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, as I mentioned to you this morning, if you were here this morning, it doesn't matter if you weren't, as I mentioned to most of you this morning, in the Apostle Paul's second epistle or letter to Timothy, who he calls his son in the faith, because he was converted, possibly because he was converted unto his ministry, like a spiritual father to him, he's like a spiritual child. He mentions in the fourth chapter of that second epistle two departures. I noticed that this week as I was going through this chapter in my own devotional readings. The first one was his own departure, his own death. And we could kind of call that a good departure, couldn't we? That was a good departure, in a sense. Perhaps not so good for those who were left behind that Paul had been ministering to. Good for him. Through grace, he was going to glory. But it's a good departure in that he was ready to go, as we saw. He was ready to die in Christ and to go to heaven. He could look back. He could reflect over the course of his Christian life and ministry, and he could say to God's glory that he had fought the good fight. He had finished his course. He was kind of aware of that. He was coming towards the end of his ministry and his life. He was aware of that as he was there in Rome just before his martyrdom, and he had kept the faith. He not only kept preaching the same gospel that God had given to him right at the very beginning, but also through God's grace he had kept his personal trust in God and in his Christ-centered promises to him, not least of everlasting life to him after his life upon earth. And also it was good in that he could look forward to a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory, a crown of life, everlasting life, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, would give him in that day. And he says, not only to him, but also to all those who love his appearing, all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who have believed on his name. So looking at that departure this morning, Paul's departure from this world to heaven as a good departure to God's glory. And that was in verses 6 to 8 of this chapter. But also there's a second departure here in terms of this man called Demas in verse 10. And there's a bit of a contrast here between Paul's and his. Paul's was a good departure, as we're going to see this evening, God willing. His was rather a bad one. It wasn't as a result of his death and going to heaven. Some even question whether this man was a true believer. But it was his departure from Paul when he had been in Rome with him during his two terms of imprisonment there. Well, this morning we look together at the first of these departures, and now the second of them tonight, to balance the books, or to balance things up just a little. It's always nice to kind of, in ministry, to kind of have a balanced ministry. And I feel if I was just to leave it there this morning, a good departure, Well, then I need to kind of, and it was very positive this morning, trust it would be positive also tonight. It's good to balance it up and look at these things too, and to learn from even this man Demas and his bad departure, if you like. So our text then is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And here Paul writes to Timothy almost towards the end of this second pastoral epistle. He says, and again he's given a reason, just like this morning, he's given a reason for something, why Timothy was to continue in the work of ministry and being an evangelist. And he gives a reason why, because he's going to die. And he gives a reason here why he wants Timothy to come from where he was in Ephesus to Rome shortly. And here's the reason. Because Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. And he says, only Luke is with me. Paul is a man like passions like we are, and he was lonely there in Rome. And only Luke was with him. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me to the ministry, and to Caicus have I sent to Ephesus. But we're just looking at the 10th verse tonight. So you can see, my dear friends, very obviously and clearly that the apostle here at this point in his second epistle to Timothy is writing to him about this man called Demas. He mentions other people, both in this verse, before it and after it. He refers to himself. He refers to this man Crescens and Titus that he seems to have sent to different places, to Galatia and Dalmatia, to Caicus. He sent him to Ephesus. Luke is also mentioned, and when Timothy comes to him there in Rome, he wants him to bring John Mark with him, because he's been restored in his relationship to Paul and is profitable again to him in the ministry. So just as in other epistles, there are lots of names when you come to the ends of the epistles and greetings from this person, that person. So in this, the end of this second epistle, lots of names are mentioned, but the main name here in this verse is this man. The main name in this verse is this man Demas. For Demas, his rather got a well-known name. We might not call it a famous name, but a rather infamous name, for infamy. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Well, briefly, who was this man Demas? Well, it appeared that Demas was a fellow disciple with the Apostle Paul and of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Also, some people doubt that. Some people don't think that this man was ever a true believer. He was either an unbeliever, or he became a backslidden believer. We trust that he was restored. Could it be one of the two? I tend to think that he was a true believer, a true disciple, but he backslid while he was in Rome and afterwards. But I'm not sure about that. So he was a fellow disciple with the Apostle Paul of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And he was his fellow labourer in the gospel ministry during Paul's first and second Roman imprisonments. So he wasn't only a Christian. He was a Christian who held some kind of office. He had received some kind of spiritual calling from God in order to preach the gospel. And he was helping Paul there in Rome during his first imprisonment, during his second imprisonment. But it was during the time of this imprisonment that he was in now that things were really beginning to hot up for Paul and for Christians in Rome. Because of the current season at that time and the persecution that was being unleashed upon Christians, not least Paul. Paul was facing martyrdom here. He was shortly to be executed by the sword. And Demas, it would appear, could go so far, but he could go no further. It was just getting too hot for him in Rome, and he goes elsewhere. That's not the only reason why he left, but no doubt that was one of them, because of the severe persecution in Rome. So that briefly is Demas. He's mentioned in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, towards the end of that epistle. And also in Philemon and verse 24, only one chapter in that epistle, both epistles written by Paul from Rome. Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. He's all right at that time, but not for long. And then in Philemon 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow labourers. So up until then, everything was okay with this man. But shortly, he was either his unbelief was to show itself, or he was even then perhaps beginning to backslide, and the world was entering into his heart. Well, my dear friend, this evening, are you like Demas? Well, I really hope that you're not. And really, I was addressing perhaps those of you that are not Christians. Tonight I'm addressing those of you who are Christians. And this man may well have been a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I hope you're not like this particular man, this particular minister even, this particular Christian. So we see that he gives to us a bad example here in his bad departure. Just like the Apostle Paul this morning gave us such a tremendous example in his good departure to glory. What does Paul tell us here about Demas? Well, he tells us about what he had recently done. Paul mentions a first thing in the beginning of this verse, that Demas had forsaken him, and then he gives him a reason why he'd done that. He explains that in the second part of the verse, and then finally he gives the outcome of everything, that he's departed to Thessalonica. So basically there are three things here. Three things about Demas. First of all, Paul records in this inspired epistle, my dear friend, for your and my learning, and for our perhaps our correction, perhaps for our rebuke, three things about him. First of all, he had forsaken. The reason for that is because he had loved, and that precedes his forsaking Paul. He really went astray in his heart before he went astray in his life, and then he went astray in the world. We read thirdly that he departed. So these three things this evening for you to think about and to consider. So first of all, Demas's forsaking. What does Paul mean here when he says that Demas has forsaken me? For or because? Again, he's given a reason here, like the beginning of verse 6. And he's given the reason why, as I mentioned earlier, why he wants Timothy to do his diligence to come shortly to him in Rome. Or to put it, give another rendering of it, do your best to come to me quickly, with haste, with speed. He says towards right at the end of the epistle, come before winter, especially with the cloak, so that Paul, he was an aged man by now, so that he might not get too cold. Timothy might be wondering why at this point in the epistle, as he reads it, why, Paul, why do you want me to come from Ephesus to Rome, with haste, quickly, to do my diligence, to be earnest in this, and come very quickly? Well, Paul gives him the bad news. It must have been discouraging for Timothy, as well as the Apostle Paul, because Demas has forsaken me. And the forsaking here is not just in terms of his leaving the Apostle Paul, not in terms of the Apostle Paul giving leave to go, like he did with Crescens, no doubt, and certainly with Titus, and also with Tychicus, because he sent him to Ephesus. Paul did not give this man a leave to go. He didn't give him permission to go. He didn't really have liberty or freedom to go. But he went anyway. He decided to go anyway because he couldn't stand the persecution any longer in Rome, and the thought that he also might die along with the Apostle Paul. And really we can sympathise with him to that degree. But also because he'd fallen out of love with the Apostle Paul and the things that the Apostle Paul stood for. And really, as we're going to see, he'd fallen in love with the world. He forsook Paul. He abandoned Paul. He deserted Paul. He left him. He left him in the lurch, we might say. Can it be otherwise translated? He left him in sore straits. He left Paul there, Paul the aged, Paul in prison, not altogether on his own. Luke was also with him, but he felt this man's loss. Not only had he been a dear man to him as a disciple and a minister who had served him and helped in the spread of the gospel in Rome, and so he deeply felt his loss. Demas has forsaken me, Paul has to say to Timothy. And this word forsaking comes up in the New Testament a good deal. It even comes up in Matthew 27:46, Mark 15:34, towards the end of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ upon the cross, "My God, my God," as he prayed to his Father, "why hast thou forsaken me?" The Father deserting him, abandoning him, because he had become sin for us, bearing our sin, and so the Father forsook him there upon the cross for a period. The apostle says in 2 Corinthians 4:9 that he's persecuted but not forsaken, not deserted by God, even in the midst of severe persecution. The apostle, when he wrote to the Hebrews in chapter 10:25, he says about Christians not forsaking the assembling of themselves together, as the manner of some is. And then in chapter 13:5, he says there's a promise from the Old Testament that God will never leave nor forsake us. Well, those are good things, but here's not a good thing in what this man did. And Paul has to also later say in 2 Timothy 4:16, "And my first answer before the Caesar, no man stood with me. God stood with him. God was faithful. God never left nor forsake him. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." So what Demas did here, I suppose in some way, my dear friends, we can kind of sympathise with him because of the persecution. My dear friend, what would you have done? "There but for the grace of God go we." It must have been very difficult to stay there. We can't excuse him. Obviously he was a backslider and the world had come into his heart. But also, we can think that it must have been very difficult to have been with somebody like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul set a high standard. And for those who did turn away, well, he writes to them in this way: forsaking. Forsaking me. He doesn't say he's forsaken God, but he does say that he forsook him. Well, my dear friends, forsaking. And he mentions then also who he forsook. To say, he doesn't say that he forsook God, but he forsook him. He forsook the Apostle Paul. My dear friends, what this man should have done is this. He should have forsaken this present evil world. But that is what he fell in love with. But what he should have forsaken was this present world, this present evil world. But no, he forsook Paul. And it's all the worse because of the kind of situation that Paul was in. And who Paul was. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So he says in 1 Timothy 1:1, going through this epistle, he was the Lord's prisoner and he was bound and chained. He mentions that in 1 Timothy 1:8. And he was an aged now preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. He says that in verse 11. And there Paul is. There Paul was. Not many around him. There were only few. Luke was still there, but people were going, and he was sending people away. And the loss of this man was felt very acutely indeed. And he wanted Timothy to know that. No doubt, had he been able to get in touch with this man, he would have told him himself. Well, my dear friends, let me kind of briefly apply this part of the message to you. Whatever you do, my dear friends, in the things that you forsake, or those that you forsake, forsake the right things. And let me bring this to a positive message. Make sure that you forsake this present evil world. Forsake that. And although you need to be in the world, don't be of it. And though you need to witness to the people of this world, don't become like them. Don't become worldly. As one once said, it's one thing to get the man out of the world, it's another thing to get the world out of the man. So, positively, my dear friends, if you forsake something, forsake this present evil world. Don't forsake good things. Don't forsake good people. And secondly, he not only mentions about Demas's forsaking, but also Demas's loving. Oh, that sounds good, but I'm afraid it's not. Second part of verse 10. Having loved this present world, this present evil world, Demas has forsaken me. Another rendering of this is because he fell in love with the present world. That's what, as I just said, that's what he should have forsaken. But now that's what he falls in love with. He falls out of love with Paul and what he stands for. He falls in love with the world. And you can see, my dear friends, that the damage was done before this man left the apostle in Rome and before he even started to Thessalonica. The damage, the rot set in inwardly, spiritually, in his heart, in his affections. So we're not sure whether he's a believer or not, but it's to say, it's given the benefit of the doubt that he was a believer. It all started in his heart. He loved this present evil world. Isn't it interesting that a little earlier on in the chapter, in verse 8, Paul may even be setting up a contrast between these people here and this man. He says, henceforth, for the future there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all that love his appearing. And notice there's a contrast here between those who love the Lord Jesus Christ appearing, his second coming, his second appearing, his epiphany, his return, and possibly this man. This man fell out of love with the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fell out of love out of thinking about eternity, an everlasting life, what lies beyond the grave, what lies beyond death, the glory everlasting. And he began to set his love upon the things of this world. I'm trying to present the best picture I can for this man, that he perhaps was a backslidden believer, but it's difficult if there's a contrast here between that verse and this one here, and this man. He fell out of love with Paul, the things he stood for. He began to fall in love with the world in his heart. It just shows, my dear friends, as I mentioned earlier there, but for the grace of God go we. We must keep watching over our hearts, ask the Lord to watch over our hearts, our lives, our lips, everything about us. Because without the grace of God, we could so very quickly lose our first love. Our Lord Jesus Christ, loving the Lord Jesus Christ and loving God and loving the gospel, all good things, loving his people, loving his day and so on. And we could begin to fall in love with this world. And it'll draw us away, it'll entice us away, it'll coax us away more and more into him. We trust if somebody's backslidden, they'll be recovered. But you know, sometimes somebody can stay like that, perhaps for the whole of their lives. They're saved, but as by fire. So Demas is loving. He fell in love with the present world, Paul says. He should have loved Paul. It means here, this present world, this world that is now, this transitory world, this world on this side of the grave. It really means not only the world itself or the earth, but he loved this age, this dispensation, this era, this period, this time. He not only loved the things of this world and the fallen pleasures of this world, but he loved the times, the spirit of the times. It must have been so difficult in Rome, isn't it? Not only, you know, on the one side there was the pressure of persecution, but also there's the pressure of temptation. You know, what a fleshpot Rome was in those days. And there must have been this kind of push-pull with this man. The kind of push of persecution and the pull of all the temptations of Rome. It doesn't end up in Rome. It goes far away. But no doubt he was looking forward to the same things that he saw going on in that capital city, this present evil world. Paul mentions it in Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In chapter 11 and verse 5 of Romans, he says, even so then at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. In his pastoral epistle to Titus, chapter 2 and verse 12, There he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly. It's what this man should have done in this present world. He wouldn't have any of it. He fell in love with Paul and the things of God, and looking forward to heaven, he fell in love with this world. It is alluring. It is enticing. It is tempting. And the devil is there. Just think of the masterstroke of the devil here. Get this man, who's so close to the Apostle Paul, to go astray. And then seek to undermine the Apostle, discourage the Apostle and his message. You can see that Satan was behind all this, engineering and manoeuvring these things, that Paul might be discredited in Rome. It must have been a very heavy burden for Paul, knowing sorrow upon sorrow in this way. Well, my dear friend, I've mentioned about that kind of first point there about forsaking this present world. Let's keep it positive. My dear friend, do you love? What are the things that you love? Not this present world, I trust, this fallen world. There are things in the world that we can truly love and enjoy and are pleasurable to us and we can do to the glory of God. But there's so much in it that we can't. And we must keep the world out of our hearts and out of our lives, and live godly in the Lord Jesus. We'll suffer persecution for it. But better that than become worldly and weak, powerless in our Christian lives. Let's not love the world and the pleasures of the sins of this world. Let us love, my dear friends, the Pauls of this world. I know there's no apostles today, and there are no people kind of the stature of the Apostle Paul today, such a genius, such a mighty man of God, so self-sacrificing and self-denying. But people like him, true believers, you know, people who faithfully preach the gospel. Let us love them and let us support them and pray for them, because things are difficult enough without kind of undermining them and discouraging them. Let us love the Pauls of this world. I think of somebody like Malcolm Watts, Pastor Malcolm Watts, who's coming next Saturday and Sunday. Of course, Pastor Watts very often gets criticised because he preaches sometimes a long time. I think of the Apostle Paul. Sometimes the Apostle Paul preached for a long time. In fact, somebody fell out from the window, didn't he? And was either unconscious or died as a result. But you know, I love somebody like Malcolm Watts. He's my kind of man. He is my kind of minister. Such a wonderful ministry. Such a clear ministry. Such a ministry with conviction. He really believes the things that he reads in God's word. And he preaches. And he stands for good things. We might not agree with everything that he does in his own church. And everything that he teaches. But on the fundamentals. Oh, I say we love that man. And men like him. We should love the Pauls of this world. God's people and God's servants. Let's not fall out of love with them, because it's probably an indication that we've fallen out of love with God himself and with his gospel. Love God's servants. It shows that we love him himself and we love his message. We love his truth. We love his people. So that explains, my dear friends, why Demas forsook the Apostle Paul, because before that, in his heart, he'd fallen in love with this present world. And the outcome of all this, the conclusion, was this, that Demas departed. He left. It means here that he went his way. Notice here, Paul doesn't say here that he went God's way. He went the way that Paul wanted him to go, prayed, and kind of felt that it was the will of God for him to go. Really, this man went his own way in a willful manner. The word depart here is even used of Paul. Jesus saying to Paul, depart, for I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles. Go your way, Paul. It's in a good sense, but here it's a bad sense. Where did he go to? Well, dear friends, he went to Thessalonica. Crescens went to a place called Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, to Tychicus to Ephesus. This man went to Thessalonica. We don't know why he particularly chose that city. We know he didn't go for a good reason. And the things that he did there probably weren't good things. And he probably didn't end up in a very good way. But we don't know that for sure. All we know is he went to the city, Thessalonica, city of Macedonia, on the shore of the Aegean Sea. Under the Romans, it was the capital of one of the four divisions of Macedonia and the station of a Roman praetor and quaestor. Paul addressed two epistles to the Christians there. I don't think he was going there for the sake of the Christians. I don't think he was going there for the sake of the Christian church. He was going there, he was coming from the Roman capital, and he's going to a Roman city that ought to enjoy Roman sins and Roman pleasures there. Well, we don't know what happens to him. We don't exactly know why he went there. Perhaps he had family there. Perhaps he had certain things in mind, certain business there. But I don't think, it doesn't seem to, it probably didn't end well for this man. That's the kind of drift of the verse, the drift of the passage, isn't it? That didn't end well. There's an ominous silence about what happened to this man. You know that in another case, John Mark, he didn't continue with Paul in the work. But we hear about him a little bit later on. He's recovered, he is restored, and he's profitable again here to the apostle in the ministry. But this man, there is rather an ominous and a deafening silence. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, as Christians going down the way, they come to, I think it's a silver mine, isn't it? And who's at the silver mine? There's a figure here, Demas is there. Demas is beckoning them over. Come on, come over to the silver mine. Come and get some silver. Come and make a great deal of wealth. Come and come over, get some money to deviate them from the way, back into the broad way, where they won't have anything to do with him. And then a little later on, they hear him fall, I think, down the shaft, perhaps to his death. Well, Bunyan there's going a bit further than scripture, isn't it? But he's kind of picking up the kind of negative vibes here. Scripture silent, but perhaps showing that things didn't end well for this poor man, Demas. But he was a Christian, he'd have been saved, but as by fire. So beware, my dear friends. You departed in your heart, departed from people, and not departing in terms of place. But whether you go to a different place or not, just be careful you don't start departing to Thessalonica. Not only Thessalonica, as it were, outwardly, but in your heart, in your spirit. Stay where you know the will of God is, where God wants you to be. That's where we need to be at any time, here or elsewhere, for each and every one of us to be in the place of God for us, the will of God for us. There we will know his blessing and his protection, his enabling and his provision. So Demas, he forsook the wrong thing. He should have forsaken this present world, not Paul. He loved the wrong thing in his heart. He should have loved Paul and his people and his message, not this present world. He departed to the wrong place. He went to Thessalonica. We don't know what happened to him there. But, my dear friends, it didn't look good. You know, like that his story ended well. Make sure yours does, for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.